Raiders were throwing goods out of the windows. 20 battle droids like none Anakin had ever seen were wheeling in formation. They had advanced repulsor lift systems, allowing them to move with astonishing speed above the surface of the ground. While they guarded a huddled group, Radnorans systematically loaded the looted goods onto grav sleds. One Radnoran male lay on the ground in a spreading pool of blood. A female crouched over him. Children stood nearby, rooted to the spot, while another older female tried to herd them to safety. Anakin saw all this at once. His gaze took in the number of droids, the number of raiders, the Radnorans who must be protected, and the possible angles of attack. He knew every Jedi had observed the same. The droids had a fluid movement he'd never seen before. They did not maneuver in a jerky, programmed fashion. It was almost as though they had grace built into their sensors, and their blaster accuracy ratio was much higher than the usual battle droid. One of the Radnoran raiders spotted them. Anakin saw his fingers fly on a remote device clipped to his belt. Five of the droids moved to surround the raiders for protection. The rest wheeled and came straight toward the Jedi in attack formation. Chapter 5. Padawans, protection, Ciri ordered crisply. Her words floated behind her. Ciri was already force-jumping toward the front line of droids. Obi-Wan leaped as well, keeping to Ciri's left so they could surround the droids, who were deftly moving over the ground. With one sweep of her lightsaber, Ciri sliced one neatly in half. At the same time, Obi-Wan did the same to the second. On his backswing, he took out a third. As quick and agile as Ciri and Obi-Wan were, Sawara Antana was even faster. Anakin watched in astonishment as her lightsaber cut through three droids with one clean stroke. Rygol handed the medication case to True to safeguard and joined Sawara's side. Anakin knew that Ciri's order was for the Padawans to surround the Radnoran family who had been victimized by the attackers. But he could see that the Jedi Masters would need help with the rest of the droids and the Radnoran raiders, who were already peppering them with blaster fire. Dara, True, and Ferris raced to surround the Radnoran family. Ferris took out a droid on his way in a quick detour, his red lightsaber flashing. Anakin knew the three Padawans could easily follow through on Ciri's order. That meant that on his way to obey Ciri's order, he could help the Jedi Masters. Anakin detoured toward Sawara and Rygol. He held his lightsaber at the ready. The hilt he had built in a trance in the cave of Ilum was perfectly balanced to his hand. He felt power surge through him. Anakin took out two droids with two quick thrusts. His palms felt hot, his body strong, his timing sharp. Still, he lagged behind Rygol and the amazing Sawara, whose compact body now seemed to move like molten metal, gracefully sliding from one attack position to another. Each of Sawara's moves flowed into the next, with no beginning and no end. Her lightsaber was a continuous blur as it sliced efficiently and continuously through one droid after another. The Radnoran raiders took one look at how quickly the Jedi had reduced most of their droid squad to a smoking heap. They ran. The rest of the droids closed in to protect the raiders' retreat. Anakin saw quickly that the Jedi Masters had the situation in hand. He double-flipped back to join the other Padawans, who had formed a tight circle, their backs to the Radnoran family as they fended off the last of the blaster fire from the retreating droids. Ferris moved aside so that Anakin could join the protective circle. Anakin kept his lightsaber moving, deflecting the fire as the family crouched behind him. Four of the droids suddenly peeled off into one group and launched a frontal attack on Obi-Wan, taking him momentarily by surprise. Ciri had to execute a reversal and come at them from behind. Anakin admired how well Obi-Wan and Ciri seemed to anticipate each other's strategy in combating the droid's sudden maneuver. That was not the only surprise. While Obi-Wan and Ciri battled the group of droids, three more separated from the rest and suddenly zoomed toward the Radnoran family. "Watch it!" Ferris called. "I see it," Anakin muttered, his teeth clenched. Ferris spoke as though he'd been the only one to catch the surprise attack. True turned his body so that he was still protecting the Ragnorans and the case in his left hand, but could meet the droid attack head-on. Dara switched her lightsaber from her right hand to her left. All Jedi were trained to use both hands while fighting, but Dara was especially skilled at not favoring one over the other. Ferris stepped forward, and Anakin did the same. The two Padawans fought the three droids side by side. It took all their powers to stay ahead of them. Anakin saw a droid come at Ferris's left and moved to foil its approach at the same time as Ferris. The two Padawans collided, sending Ferris off balance. He landed awkwardly, and Anakin quickly rushed in to bury his lightsaber in the droid's control center. Ferris was up and fighting in another parsec, his eyebrows furrowed in concentration. He sliced the droid in two as Dara dispatched the last one with a cool grace Anakin admired. Anakin glanced over at Obi-Wan. He was ready to join his master, but he saw that Obi-Wan and Ciri had finished off the rest of the droids. Sawara and Rygall had completed their work as well. The Jedi simultaneously deactivated their lightsabers. Obi-Wan ran to the Ragnoran family. "Is anyone badly hurt?" he asked. "My husband," the Ragnoran female said, her eyes wide with panic. "He needs help." "We'll get him to a medic," True assured her. Rygall bent over the Ragnoran to gently examine the wound. "He will be all right. He needs a Bacta bath." It was rare for Rygall to say so much at once. "My sister took a blow to the head," the man's wife said, pointing at the older Ragnoran female. "And you?" True said gently. He touched her shoulder. "You have taken a blow yourself, I think."
"To the leg. It was nothing," the wife said, kneeling by her husband.
"They all need care," True said to Rygall. "Yes," Obi-Wan said. He scanned the streets. "There are no speeder transports, no emergency med vehicles."
As if he'd heard them, suddenly Galen appeared, piloting a large speeder.
"I thought you might need this here."
"Yes. We must transport the wounded," Sawara said. "And then we must go to the isolation sector."
"I can take the wounded first, then return for you," Galen said. "By the way, I only have 4 bio-isolation suits. You will have to choose who will go."
The 4 masters exchanged glances. They did not have to confer. It would be better to leave the Padawans here temporarily and not expose them to the deadly toxin. The masters were sure to be back in time to monitor the evacuations.
"The Padawans will stay here and make sure the wounded get care," Sawara said, speaking for all the masters. "We shall bring the medications to the isolation sector.
Your instructions are to patrol the area and keep the people as calm as possible," Obi-Wan told the Padawans. "Do not conceal your lightsabers. The Ragnorans must know that the Jedi will protect them."
"Check in with Galen periodically," Ciri said. "He'll keep up with the progress of the evacuation ships."
"We will not fail you," Ferris said.
"Of course we won't. You don't need to say it," Anakin thought.
Obi-Wan drew Anakin aside.
"You fought well, my young Padawan," he told him.
"Thank you, Master."
"But you fought for yourself," Obi-Wan continued.
"First of all, you did not obey Ciri's order at once. And when Ferris stepped forward to engage the droids, he did so in the expectation that the two of you would work together. Instead, you fought as though you were fighting alone. You will never be a great Jedi warrior if you do not practice teamwork and dedicate yourself to the greater Jedi goal."
It was his master's most disapproving tone. Anakin knew better than to try to defend himself. Hadn't Ferris fought for himself too? Hadn't he stepped forward without consulting Anakin, without a word as to his intentions? Why was Ferris right and he wrong?
"Yes, Master," he said. Obi-Wan stepped back. He never said more than he needed to. He never added a reassurance after a correction.
Anakin turned away. He caught Ferris's eye, and the boy quickly looked away.
Ferris had overheard Obi-Wan.
Anakin's face burned. Now Ferris knew that Anakin had been corrected by his master.
and Ferris was about the last Padawan in the Jedi Order that Anakin would want to know that. The others had loaded the wounded into the speeder. There was just enough room for the Padawans.
"I'll return for you," Galen said to the Jedi Masters before taking off.
Anakin watched as the Jedi Masters receded behind him. He knew it was important for them to get the wounded to a medic. He also knew the Masters had left them here temporarily with important responsibilities. He still wished he were going off with his master to see the Isolation Sector. Someday, he would be a Jedi Master. Then he would be the one to make decisions, the one to make corrections. He could hardly wait.
Chapter 6.
Galen picked up the Jedi Masters and brought them to the boundary line of the Clear Sector. An energy gate was ahead.
"I'll enter the code, and you'll be able to pass through," Galen said. "I'm sorry I can't give you the transport, but no vehicle can pass through the energy gate. You'll have to put on your bio-iso suits. I've managed to get a message through to Curie. You should be met on the other side for transport to Albendo." "Thank you for all your help," Obi-Wan said. He gave a last look back at Takto. Obi-Wan didn't second-guess decisions, but he suddenly wished Anakin were with him.
The Jedi donned the bio-iso suits. The energy gate blinked green, and they walked through. They stood on a vast plain. There was only a smudge of gray on the horizon, an indication of the city ahead. After a few moments, they saw a transport approaching. They recognized Galen's sister as the Radnoran female who was piloting the craft. She halted the craft near them, the repulsor lift engines keeping it slightly aloft.
"You've brought the medication?"
Rygal indicated the case at his side.
"Here."
"Thank the stars. Oh, I'm so sorry. What a way to greet you. I am Curie. I extend so many thanks to the Jedi for coming. Please, board the craft."
The Jedi swung themselves into the airspeeder. As Curie took off, they introduced themselves.
"I'm in charge of the rescue operation here, such as it is," Curie said. "We are fighting a battle we cannot win."
"You have many fatalities?" Obi-Wan asked. Curie gave him a bleak look, full of exhaustion and suffering.
"Everyone in this sector is dead or dying. Only those who came in from the Clear Sector with bio-iso suits are healthy."
The gray towers of the city rose before them.
"We're almost there," Curie said. "We are passing over the underground canyons now."
Below them, the ground was fissured with deep cracks that Obi-Wan could see led to a maze of canyons.
"Radnorans are city dwellers," Curie explained. "We do not like open spaces. Perhaps some of us could have escaped the toxin if we weren't all in the same place."
They reached the outskirts of the city. Curie slowed down as they went down a wide boulevard. It was deserted. Abandoned air taxis littered the street in haphazard groups. Cafes and businesses were shuttered and empty. There was no one on the streets. It was as though the Radnorans of the city had vanished. Obi-Wan had expected to see signs of panic, but the buildings and surroundings were intact. Everything would have seemed almost normal, except for the fact that there wasn't any sign of a living thing. Even the vegetation was dead. Flower beds were full of twisted stalks. The branches of a massive tree were bare of leaves, the spiky branches reaching out like pleading arms. They could see that once flowering bushes, meters tall, had run down the center strip of the wide boulevard. Now dry leaves and blooms were kicked up by the wind. The Jedi were silent as they viewed the eerie sight. Obi-Wan had seen civil war, an environmental disaster, but this felt worse. Even in his bio-iso suit, he imagined he could smell death in the air he breathed. Ahead they saw the large med center. Here, at least, there were signs of activity. They could see medics in bio-iso suits inside the courtyard. Curie pulled up the speeder and they got out. The sound of his footsteps was unsettling to Obi-Wan. Encased in the white suit, his audio perception was muffled, making everything seem not quite real. Curie hurried over to a medic and handed over the medications.
"We don't know if these will help,"
she said to the Jedi. We are trying anything. Thank you for bringing them.